Welcome to the Career Zone podcast, where each episode we spend some time focusing on something that's on students' minds right now. I'm your host, Rachel, employability and careers consultant with the University of Exeter. You can catch up on all of our episodes by doing all of those subscribing and following things. We're on Spotify and iTunes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Career Zone podcast. My name is Dave Gilmurray. I'm an employability and placements advisor at the campus in Penryn in Cornwall. And today we're joined by a special guest. So we've got Amy Horn-Norris Bradbury from Spalding Associates. Amy, welcome, and thank you for making time in your day for us. I suppose if I could ask you to sort of explain what it is that Spaldings do and your role within that, that would be a great starting point for us.
Thanks, Dave. Nice to meet you. So yeah, Spalding Associates is an ecological consultancy company based in Cornwall. Our main office is in Truro, although over the years we've worked all over, up to Wales and Wareham and Dorset, up to the north as well. So we do work all over, but mainly based in Cornwall, doing all sorts of ecological consultancy work like surveys, everything from wind farms and solar farms to kind of local barn conversions. So a real variety of things, really. I'm the director of the company now. I started as an ecologist. I started as just a subcontractor, and then over time worked my way through the company. And now I'm a 50-50 business partner in the company with Adrian, the company's founder. So yeah, so I'm pretty much running the show now.
Amazing. Okay, cool. And you're an Exeter University alumni as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I went to University of Exeter to do my post grad. So I did an MSc in evolutionary and behavioural ecology. And it's funny because I did it because I thought it'd be interesting, sounded like an interesting course. But the other side, like the conservation and biodiversity side of that, probably would have been more useful for my role now, but I didn't know that at the time. But either way, yeah, I think both were a good lead into my current job and definitely helped me to get my job. Even if the skills weren't 100% transferable, there were other skills that I did have that did help,
yeah,
if that makes sense. So yeah, things like deadlines and things like that were the things I took away. Having to work to like tight deadlines and stuff like that, that's something that was really useful, even though, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be the ecology side of the learning. It was more the like discipline and everything else.
Yeah. So sort of being able to manage your time and
yeah, things like yeah, that. It was useful.
Did you have various sort of projects to work on and things as well as part of your master's?
So part of my master's, I did my main dissertation in Cornwall based on, it was an ecology-based master's about overwinter feeding of breeding birds. We did lots of ringing of birds in nest boxes, and I learned a lot about field work, I guess. I mean, I had done field work before, but that was kind of like really intense field work for a lot of days at a time, and then processing like all the data and the project. So it was nice to be in Cornwall for that. And it just made me want to stay, really, like being here, and I'm here ever since. So I've been here like 14 years now. Tempting thing.
Yeah, I'm sort of similar sort of pathway, completely different subject, but yeah, came down to university and couldn't bear to leave. So yeah, I think there's quite a few of us about. So, I mean, we've talked a little bit about your kind of, you know, what it is that you do now, where you're working and sort of your master's and things. I think what would be perhaps interesting and potentially helpful for our current sort of undergraduate students that are, you know, perhaps studying similar sort of disciplines to the sorts of things that you're talking about is kind of getting a bit of an idea as to what your career pathway sort of looked like. So can you sort of take us through that journey of, you know, your first degree, I suppose, your postgrad, and kind of the activities between those two and where you find yourself today as a director for Spalding Associates?
Yeah, sure, I can try. So when I left A levels, I had kind of, I just did what I wanted to, like what I enjoyed. So I don't think I really chose A levels thinking I had a real career path. Yeah. I just chose the A levels I wanted to do, which happened to be biology, geography, art, and English, which actually gives you a pretty good base for most things. And then I went to my undergrad was at Plymouth University. I chose Plymouth for various reasons, but it was a really good university for sciences.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be in the southwest, so it was a bit closer. I studied biology there. So that gave me a kind of wide base to still, I was quite a not kind of, I didn't really know where I was going. I just knew that I wanted to learn sciences and stay in that kind of area. So I did that. That was after a year out, actually, which I think helped because I had, in that year out, I had a chance to kind of gain some skills. So I had a full-time job, but I was still like volunteering for the RSPB and the BTO. They're bird conservation charities that most people probably know them. So I did some of that in my year out. So when I went to university, I was already like a year behind quite a lot of people there. That was good because it gave me kind of real world experience, I guess, which helped me further along. And then university just kind of flew by. I kind of chose modules that were more to do with animals and nature when I went through, because those are the ones that interested me. And I did a bit of volunteering again with bird charities. Then after university, I had another year out. I did some traveling, which was useful. I learned quite a lot about animals from around the world and things like that, which can be useful, although learning about Cornwall is, I think, is better. So I think really it was coming back to Cornwall to do my master's where I kind of focused more, started to like realize where I was going with my career, if that made sense. So when I did my master's with Exeter University, it was after my second gap year, and it was kind of, I didn't really know what job I was going for, which is crazy because the job I'm in now is like the perfect job for me. Like I love my job, but I didn't really know it was a job. So I think having good career advice earlier on in my career would have been really useful for me, because it wasn't until kind of halfway through my master's that I even realized it was a job. And then after finishing my master's, I didn't go straight into ecology, although I was still volunteering for the RSPB, and I started doing more and more in Cornwall. So I was doing like ringing, joined like a ringing group, and I was working full time in a restaurant as a manager, which I think helped me to kind of hone those skills of like people skills, like, you know, working with lots of different people and like leading a team, and you know, that kind of thing actually helped a lot towards my career, but I didn't know it was going to help at the time. And then through the volunteering, the RSPB, I ended up working out on the Isles of Scilly, like full time, like living out there and camping. I got to know a lot of people there. And then that's how I met the ecology consultancy company who had been like paid to be there through that job. That was quite interesting. So I wasn't being paid to work for the RSPB, but I did have like a food budget and free accommodation and free travel out to the Isles of Scilly. And for me, I was really happy with that. I mean, I didn't need the money at the time. I didn't really have any ties. So I was like really happy to be living out there. Yeah, I met the company I worked for there. And then they offered me some like basically casual work. I just started doing reptile surveys, bat surveys and things like that. And then after a while, I had a job in the office, just paid like an hourly rate, 3 days a week. And then that was like in the October. And then like 3 months later, they had somebody leave. So there was like an opportunity to go full time. And I went full time then, and I've been there ever since.
Amazing. Wow, what an adventure. I think, yeah, it's really, it's sort of interesting and great to see that kind of, you know, opportunities like that pop up. And actually, you don't always know where they're going to go. And you don't always, or one doesn't know, you know, what we end up doing. And sometimes those plans kind of reveal themselves as opposed to being a straightforward kind of linear path.
Yeah,
it sounds like that's something that you might have experienced as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, I think I mean, obviously I've been quite lucky to really to be where I am, but if I'd known what I know now, I could have done a lot more constructively over the years to get there. So it was a little bit happenstance, but I think what I would recommend is to kind of take any opportunities when they come up. Like, don't be afraid to take those opportunities. I mean, when I went to work on Scilly, I was out there. It was quite, I suppose it'd be quite daunting in a way, because I was completely on my own. Like I didn't have a boyfriend or anything at the time, which was really useful. And I just went out there and camped on my own, like alone basically the whole time. And it, looking back, that seems a bit crazy, but I really loved it. And I really loved that whole experience of being out there and just trying new things. You know, just taking those opportunities and just not being afraid to put yourself out there, really.
Well, I think you use the word happenstance, which I think is a really kind of powerful word. We talked about kind of planned happenstance sometimes within the careers provision that we do, which is you know, there are things that, you know, appear to be sort of almost like having a, you know, a bit of good luck, but actually planned happenstance is all about putting yourself in a position that you can then sort of become lucky. And I think that comes through, like you said, sort of taking opportunities, running with them, doing some networking, and actually making these decisions like, okay, well, I'm going to go and live in a tent on the Isles of Scilly for a bit and see how it pans out, which are quite intimidating choices for people to make sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this idea of kind of putting yourself out there is a really important one. So thanks for sort of sharing your sort of pathway and your kind of journey with that. I think that's really valuable for us. I mean, in terms of, so you've sort of talked about the RSPB and sort of getting some work experience that way and volunteering and things. And just for the benefit of our listeners, I'm just going to very quickly just kind of name drop a couple of employability schemes that we run here in the Career Zone, because we understand that not everybody is in a position to be able to volunteer their time due to various sort of factors. So for people that are looking to get more kind of experience within this sector and that perhaps aren't able to volunteer, we've got things like the professional pathway scheme, in which people can apply and go through a sort of a shortlisting and sort of interview type rounds, and then following that, students are able to undertake paid internships over the summer. We've also got the A2I, so access to internship scheme, in which students can find an employer willing to give them an internship, and we will then help them out with some various sort of funding options to make that happen, as well as other things that can go alongside your studies. So all of the global leadership schemes that we have on our webpage, career mentor schemes, the extra award, grand challenges, and all sorts of other things as well. So just to give you guys a bit of an idea as to some alternative ways of gaining that work experience there as well. Amy, thanks for bearing with me.
That's
just
okay.
Kind of rattled through those bits and pieces for the benefit of our listeners.
I wish I'd known more about it actually when I was at uni, but I never really got any careers advice. It's silly. The only experience I had was in A-levels, and the person just didn't care or didn't know a lot about career jobs. But for me, like, being an ecologist seems like the obvious choice, but no one ever mentioned to me, oh, that might be a good job for you. So I just carried on going as I was. So
yeah, I think there's an element of trial and error with a lot of people in the jobs they end up doing as well. I mean, I studied film in 2004 to 2007, and here I am working for the Career Zone, and that's not something I could have predicted either. But sort of similar to you, when you look at the kind of skills and qualities that are needed to do that sort of work, you think, oh, actually that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Do I want to help people? Yes. Am I good with people? Yes. Like, all of these things kind of slot into place eventually. So there we are.
Don't feel hopeless, because I mean, I went through that. I must say I did go through that when I was doing volunteering. I was just working in like a restaurant, and I know I thought, well, that's me, I'm just working in a restaurant now. I always thought in my head that I would like maybe to take those management skills back to ecology. And I wasn't really sure how that would happen, whether it would be through like a paid RSPB job, which are actually quite hard to get, but they are out there, or how it happened. And then I just kind of fell into this job and been doing it ever since.
And I think, there's I think we discover ourselves kind of as time goes on, I think. And it's, I think, you know, this sort of idea of falling into stuff like that, that does happen, but with, you know, not without the work that goes behind it as well.
No, I did do a lot, and it was a lot of hours of extra stuff, but it was all, for me, it was stuff I enjoyed. So, you know, I wanted to be out looking at birds and looking at reptiles and things like that. I didn't want to. You know, so it's not like I was forcing myself.
No, but there's an element of self-awareness and figuring out what it is that, you know, that makes you get up in the morning and what makes you tick. And I think that's a really difficult bit. And once you've kind of got an idea as to what that might be, then you can try things out, essentially.
Yeah.
Can't you? So on sort of, you know, that note of kind of challenging ourselves and kind of trying stuff out, I know that you've Spalding have been gracious enough to take sort of several of our students on for work, short-term work placements and things as well, which is brilliant to see. And I just wondered, kind of from your perspective, what are the kind of the challenges and the benefits of taking on undergraduate students for placements within Spalding?
I mean, personally, I really like taking on undergrad students, because I think one of the main benefits is that they're so energetic and usually really committed to being there. Like, everything's new to them usually. So they're very like excited about getting out in the field and getting involved in projects. Depends on the length of the work placement. Sometimes we have people for 3 months or 6 months, but we have had people for as little as a week. usually college students and things on work placements. We try and give them like a project so they can try lots of different things, but also have a finished piece of work at the end. So they can feel like they've kind of achieved something, which is a nice thing to do. But yeah, I think one of the, probably the challenge is that we've got to give our time to train them up. But it, I think it does pay for itself in the benefit of, you know, I guess just having fresh blood.
Yeah.
You know, like people who are just very like committed and you get some just really interesting things come into the, you know, come into the projects from having new people involved. We obviously do employ students as well, like hourly rate work to do help out on surveys as well, which isn't quite the same as a work experience place. That's really good because they're, you know, they're, again, they're very focused, really, like, because for them it's new and interesting. So whereas us, we've just, you know, been doing it years and years and years, and it's just nice to have that energy and be asked questions all the time. Like, I like being asked about questions about ecology, and you realize, you know, how much you know, I suppose,
yeah,
over the years, how much you've learned.
Yeah, that's great. And presumably some of those sort of work placements, you know, potentially could turn into those sort of hourly rate, you know, bits and pieces of work that you were talking about as well.
Yeah, so we have had people on like specific work placements for 3 years and things like mm-hmm. that. There was a girl who used to work for us. She started on a work placement where I can't remember if they still do this scheme, but the university paid like half the wages or paid for one day a week and we paid the rest or something like that.
Yeah.
But she was with the company a number of years after that. So mm-hmm. she went full time. And then she was with the company for a few years, and now she lives in Germany and does bats over in Germany, which is interesting because obviously she learned all her bat skills and got her bat license with Spalding's, and then emigrated and now uses that same bat license in in Europe to do bats there. So that's an interesting.
That's awesome. So, I mean, my sort of next question was going to be about, you know, the most valuable skills that students can sort of bring to the sector generally. So, I mean, you've talked about kind of fresh blood and enthusiasm and wanting to kind of that hunger for learning, which is there in terms of people that are coming to see you in Spalding, which is great. And I think just from a more general perspective, what do you think are the things that the ecology sector really kind of values from students or graduates?
I think probably they quite often have some skills in kind of technology, which they could bring to us, which we wouldn't have if we just had like older, more experienced people, because mm-hmm. they seem to be really in the know about kind of the newest technology in terms of, I don't know, they just seem to be very well kind of up to date with the newest things that you can do with Excel or, you mm-hmm. know, websites, or depends on the person, and everyone comes with their own separate skill set. But I find that useful, actually, is that they, you know, you learn something new kind of from every person. I remember like ages ago now, but learning about like pivot tables, and I was like, oh, that's a clever way of, you know, processing a record search is through a pivot table. I hadn't really thought about doing it that way before. So it's just, yeah, things like that I think are really useful.
Yeah, I suppose it's one of the benefits of sort of coming through, you know, the universities, you kind of get to play with the most up-to-date stuff, and then when you go into that sector, all of a sudden you're potentially the only person who knows how to use this new bit of tech or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I think that's a really kind of important or valued tool that new people can bring in, essentially.
Yeah. And for younger people, like the youth, I know it sounds silly, but actually they often have the best eyesight. So for something like nighttime surveys, like bat surveys and things like that, being younger and having a really good eyesight for seeing bats, even if they're not that experienced, can be a really valuable skill. You know, even without the experience, is just being able to see really well at night, like in the dark, which is something that you start to lose as you get older. So
there we go, physiological advantages.
Yeah, exactly. Probably not for mature students, but you know, they also have other skills. So
yeah. Okay, great. Well, I think that'll probably about do it for us. I think we're just sort of running up to time, but thank you so much for your time today, Amy, and we really appreciate it.
I wish you all the best in your careers in ecology. It's a really interesting sector to get into. It's always changing, quite rewarding, really, long term, I would say.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much.
This was the Career Zone podcast, brought to you by the University of Exeter Career Zone. Check out iTunes and Spotify to keep up with all of our regular releases. And if you'd like us to cover something else in another episode, just send us a message, #CareerZonePodcast @UOE CareerZone or at UOE Cornwall Career Zone on Instagram, and we'll follow up in one of the next episodes.